Please would you turn this morning to Luke 23 verse 34. We're on holy ground this morning. Jesus made seven statements from the cross. This is one of them. He simply says this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to take you back 2,000 years. It's been a dreadful night. It's a Thursday night and the Roman soldiers have taken Jesus and they've beaten him to a pulp. They've got wind that this is somebody that's claiming to be king of the Jews. So they smashed him around and they've beaten him. It's Friday morning. There's a crucifixion procession. This was not unusual for the Romans. The crowd was baying for blood. We come Friday morning, 9 o'clock, and two men are placed upon a cross, two thieves, and there they hung. And then Jesus Christ is laid down upon a cross and they nail in to that wooden gibbet and they put him up. And there he is. And you can hear the crowd baying. Underneath the cross, the crowds are shouting such hostility and hatred to Jesus. He'd never done them any harm. He just showed them love and peace. And on that cross, he hung between two criminals. Underneath, they were shouting and shouting what a sense of violence had been. But what a sense of unrivaled love there was. The soldiers are casting the lots, dividing the garments among themselves. The people are looking up. Even the rulers are sneering at him, saying, he saved others. Why doesn't he save himself if he is the Son of God, his chosen one? The soldiers mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour poison wine and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And they put an inscription above him. This is the King of the Jews. Amongst such violent abuse, on that cross he prayed. He asked the Father to forgive the thieves on the cross who jeered at him. He asked the Father to forgive the Roman soldiers who had mocked him, who had spat on him, who had beat him, who yanked out his beard, who whipped him, who put on a crown of thorns on his head and nailed him to a cross. Jesus asked forgiveness to the angry mob that mocked him and called for his crucifixion. But the wonder is, it was not just for them he prayed. For he prayed for me and he prayed for you. It would be our sins that would keep him there upon the cross. He would lay down his life and he cries out, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they are doing. They don't know what they're doing well. Not fully. Why didn't they know what they were doing? What was the reason, Lord? The soldiers knew. They did this deed and wielded the whip regularly. They pounded the nails in and thrust the spear regularly. They were doing but a day's job for a Roman soldier in a foreign land. Of course the soldiers knew what they were doing, but not in full. Not in full they didn't know. They don't know what they're doing. Pontius Pilate knew what he was doing. He declared, this man has done nothing to deserve death. But it was easier to crucify him than to acquit him. So Pilate washes his hands and sends him to Herod. He makes others take the blame. Let his blood be on us and our children. Pontius Pilate, ever wringing his hands that are now forever soiled. Of course he knew. He knew what he was doing, but not in full. They don't know what they're doing. Herod knew what he was doing during Jesus' trial. Herod found nothing wrong with him and sent him back to Pilate. He ducked the issue, not making a ruling, and then Herod tried to hide his indecision, finding some way to put the blame on someone else. Oh, Herod knew what he was doing, but not in full. They don't know what they're doing. Simon Peter, he knew what he was doing, denying the Lord. The Lord had said to him, "You will deny me three times." Three times. Later, when he was confronted, Peter feared for his life, denounced Jesus, tried to save his own hide. Even Peter knew what he was doing, but not in full. They don't know what they're doing. Judas knew what he was doing. He turned against his Lord for a payoff. He asked, "What will you give me if I betray Jesus to you?" He planned his betrayal well. He gave the kiss in Gethsemane, all to cover up what he was doing, so that the betrayal might even look like compassion as he kissed Jesus. Judas knew what he was doing, but not in full. They don't know what they're doing. Even the criminals dying next to Jesus knew for one of the criminals. Set the other straight by sadness. Our punishment is fair because we are getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing. At last someone comes clean and stops trying to cover up what he did, no longer straining to pass the blame to someone else. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But wait. Wait, my friends. It's a prayer, isn't it? That echoes through the generation, from one generation to another. It echoes through. Father, forgive those that are at Holland Road in 2017. Father, forgive those. Forgive that Paul Young, because he knows not what he does. Well, not in full, but to my shame, I do. In part, I do. I fail again and I fail again and I fall short again and again. I don't fully know what happened on that cross, Jesus, but I know that he took my place. I know that not only took a severe beating for me, but it cost him his life upon that cross. The sinless one for me. He can't die though, for the wages of sin is death, but he knew no sin. But he knew my sin. My sin was poured upon him and he laid down his life willingly to pay for my debt, so that I could have a relationship with God forever and ever. He can be my Father. We don't know what we're doing, and yet Jesus is still bent on forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Now Jesus did know what he was doing. Even as the blows of the hammer drove the nails in through his flesh onto the wood, Jesus was heaven bent on your forgiveness, friends. Who would be so set to forgive? He is the Son of Man, humanity restored to the image of God. That was his task. This man on the cross reflects God's perfect love, forgiving love to a world of brokenness. He is the perfect forgiver. Above all others who came to forgive our sins, even the sins committed against him. Jesus was dying to forgive the sins we know and forget when confessed to him. Father, forgive them, he said, forgive them. Jesus' prayer to his Father is also for you and for me. He pleads your case before the throne of God, showing his crucifixion wounds. This forgiveness costs. It takes more than even a chunk of Jesus Christ's flesh. It will take his own life. Our salvation is costly. Sin is very expensive, my friends. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Our not knowing isn't only because we're used to rationalising our sin, that we barely notice them at times. It's more, we also do not know the full impact, the depth, the damage we cause when we sin. That's also what Jesus meant when he says, we don't know what we're doing. We have little idea of the spiritual damage we do to others and ourselves. We have only the tiniest inkling at best. Thank God that he doesn't limit his forgiveness only to the sins that we know. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. But it's perfect love. It's divine love. That means no one is beyond the pale. No sin too bleak or too deep. No one beyond his reach of his mercy. The blood of Christ has never lost its power and never will. He is on that cross as our substitute, taking our place. It's freely given. It's freely given, but he then says, now that you're forgiven, I'll give you one task. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Tell others about this statement upon the cross. So our Lord, here we are back 2,000 years, is upon that cross. No longer can his hands minister to the sick, for they are nailed to the tree. No longer can his feet carry on the errands of mercy, for they are fastened to the wood. No longer can he instruct his disciples, for they have been forsaken him and they've fled. But he says to us, his disciples, you and me, you will be salt and light. I send you, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know how much of a lack of purpose in doing this task they so often take for granted. Let's bring that cry of Jesus up today. What are you saying to this city of Brighton and Hove, Lord God? Who shall I send to Britain's most sickly and deadly city? That sex craze, drug craze, drug infested city. I want people that are going to be like a laser beam that will go out and tell people about my love. I want people to be a laser beam in the darkest of places. And you know what? He's chosen you and me. We'll have all eternity to worship God, free of our problems and our setbacks. But we won't have all eternity to save the lost, to call a fellow sinner back to God, to declare the words of Jesus for them upon the cross. You'll not have all eternity to do what we can do on earth right now as ambassadors of the King of Kings. I want to give you a quote now. It was done in an open air in Brighton 120 years ago. William Booth said this. If this was the first time we'd heard about the hopelessness in the city, the matter would have been less serious. It is because we've heard it so often of cases so desperate, the exceeding bitter cry of the disinherited, come to be as familiar in our ears of men as the dull roar of the streets or as the moaning in the wind of the trees. So it rises, increasing year in, year out, and we are too busy or too indifferent or too selfish to spare a thought. Only now and then, on a rare occasion, when some clear voice is heard giving more articulate utterance to the miseries of those living so poor amongst us, do we pause in the routine of our daily duties and shudder as we realise for one brief moment what life means to the poor in the poor of the cities around. That was done not in 2017, but 1890. Has things changed? Maybe Jesus looks at us and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But they should have known. They should have done something about it. They live in the most godless city, the city of Brighton and Hove, most godless one in Britain. He used to have a motto of In God We Trust, and now the motto of the city is Between the Downs and the Sea. Who come up with that, eh? I called them to witness, to be salt and light to the community, but some have not witnessed for years in my name. Others, the Father sent Jesus, now Jesus has sent you. Father, forgive them. Go into the city. Simply tell them what I've done for you. You know you should. For they do not know about our Saviour out there. Personally, I'm aware. And I look over the city. I think over this week, 90 young people lost their lives in the abortion clinic. Sexual transmitted diseases are up 1,000% in 2 years. Highest suicide rate amongst the elderly. Highest drug-related deaths for a whole decade. Only this year did things change when we cooked the books and didn't include legal highs. A place where immorality and godlessness living is celebrated among us. He has no hand but ours. He will not give out a gospel tract today. He does not write out checks. We are taking his place. The only lips and feet are ours. You are sent to this city. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or do we know? Do we know? Places that used to be a place of godliness and missionary sending now are places of mockery. They announce, come in and drink from the font. So few Christians today are reading my word daily or attend the prayer meetings, yet they want revival. 200 people slept on the streets last night. That might be just okay for this time, but November is on its way. Every day we walk past. We walk past. I asked within my office for a map of Brighton and Hove, and I got one back. It was one of these tourist maps with all the historic sites and the nicest area of Brighton and Hove. You know the one. Pretty, all pretty bright. And I looked at it, and after a while I thought, between all those lovely places is suffering. Lack of employment, drug taking, homelessness, overcrowding, lack of education, trafficking, swindling, cheating, drugs, fear, addiction, loneliness, desperation, abuse, neglect, alienation, outcasts, injustice. That's the Brighton I have to live with day in, day out as we open our centres. I was reading just this week when Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan, and it struck me again. Here was a traveller beaten and abused, beaten up. You know the story too well. The priest and the Levite, they walked past, and you know what? They probably had 1,000 reasons, and all of them very good, to walk past. But the true neighbour, Jesus said, was the one that helped and done something about it. My friends, I want to tell you, I fail every day. I will fail today. I will walk past so many needy people. Do you? Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. I am as guilty as anyone else around that cross. I put Jesus on the cross. I do know that. I do know what I do. And I walk past too many a people. Yet what wonder. There's no excuse for my continuing sin, Lord, but I want to be better. But Jesus' words are so sweet, aren't they? Divine melody is played for us here against our sinful disobedience. His new song is sung against the devil's lies, against the old lies of sin. Jesus' words on the cross is about pardoning. Prayer that brings us peace with God, making you and I whole again, restoring us with God. It's about forgiveness. It's about mystery. It's about wonder. It's far beyond our knowing, my friends. What an abyss, what a terrible thing our sin is. It causes a chasm between me and God. Yet he would bring together God and man. Jesus had restored in his deed a perfect love. God and man are reconciled. Father, forgive them, for they just don't know what they do. They don't know the cost of their sin. But I do it freely anyway. On the cross, Jesus provides forgiveness for those who, of all those that would ever believe in him. Jesus paid the penalty for sins that we commit in our ignorance, and even the ones we committed deliberately when we confess, when we're born again. Praise God. We too became an answer to Jesus' prayer. Father, forgive them. For this prayer is about God taking his rightful place in a created body, taking control, having warmth and having fellowship and transformation, because God dwells here. Paul Young, a son of an alcoholic, the man who brought me up, my granddad, threw himself under a train, and God looked down and said, Even him, his sins would be forgiven and he would become a son of the living God. Oh, not a religious set of rules, but a relationship. One in outlook, one in hope, one in thoughts, one in God. Moral and spiritual union coming together, walking with him, enjoying him, trusting him and gladly obeying him. Whatever you need, God. And then we can be fireballs on earth, touching heaven in intimate relationship. We are love with an everlasting love. That's what these words are saying. Father, forgive them, so that we could cry out, Abba, Father. He is my Father, and you are his children. You are never alone, never alone, never unwanted. Never a nobody, never a mistake, never a statistic. That's the devil's lies. You are a child of the living God. And we are called to be those that will share it with others. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You are now royalty, love with an everlasting love. A people with a taste of the power of the world to come upon them. Guilty, yes. But the price has been paid so that you and I can become sons and daughters of the living God. Hallelujah. For you and I, he uttered them amazing words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not in part. And the wonderful Saviour died there upon the cross so that we may live and make a great difference to the people around us. For now, until the day of Jesus Christ returning, the call is still the same. Let us be fireballs that turn this city around for Jesus Christ. For I believe we can do it. I believe we must do it to share the wonder of our Lord again. Let's keep doing it, friends, and make this city truly a better place to live. Let us pray. Oh, Father, the cry of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, Lord God, there's great mystery in the cross. I don't fully understand what happened on that cross, but I know that it satisfied the heart of God forever. I know that sin and that poison that was in Paul Young was dealt with upon that cross. I know not only was I left alone, but the blessed Holy Spirit come upon Paul Young and set him free to tell others simply about the cry of Jesus on the cross. Oh, Lord Jesus, I don't fully know what it cost you. I don't fully know what it cost the Father, but I know it was done for me and my friends here who know and love Jesus. Lord Jesus, anoint us afresh. Give us courage. Give us the wonder of the cross. And help us be a people that are able to see many, many, many people come from darkness into a new light. Refresh us, anoint us. And Lord Jesus, help us to turn this city around so it won't be known as a place of death and sickness and sin, but it will be known as the place where Jesus Christ is worshipped and lifted up. So we're looking to you, and we're looking to you alone, for we can't do it. But I thank you for this wonderful church. I thank you for all the great things that you do. Lord Jesus, bless us, strengthen us, and encourage us again, for your name's sake. Amen.